O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength. Like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in, so I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. This is the word of the Lord.
Our Father, we thank you for your word. We love your word. Give us ears to hear. Amen. We end our summer series in the Psalms on a dark note. From the darkest psalm, sorry, it just kind of is where the date and the Psalms fell, and so here we are. The darkest psalm, and it ends on such a dark note, right? Darkness is my closest friend, is how the NIV translation puts it. Darkness is my closest friend. Years ago, when I was performing more often, somebody asked me, why do you sing so many depressing songs? And I thought to myself, well, they're ballads, so it shows how much you know. But thankfully, I didn't say that out loud. But I said something like this, and I still believe this. Life is full of discouragement and dark times. Why not be honest about that? Especially through art. Life is full of the darkest times and discouragement. And here's the thing, the Bible acknowledges that. Artists are typically intuitive and wise about the human soul. And artists can speak for us in ways that we cannot speak for ourselves, especially when we cannot find a voice or the words, we don't even understand how we feel. And it's no different with Psalm 88, which we are told in the title was actually written by a wise songwriter, according to the scriptures, named Heman the Ezrahite. Look him up. So here's kind of where, this is the direction we're going to go today with Psalm 88. If you are so sick, if you are so depressed, if you are at your wit's end, or if you feel like you are at your life's end, Psalm 88 speaks for you. Now, if you're not a Christian, or if you are not a believer of the God of the Bible, you really can't read or pray Psalm 88 with any realistic hope, right? I mean, why would you? If life is meaningless, or if truth is relative in your opinion, or if you have no confidence that there is a good and sovereign God out there, then why would you sing or even waste your time reading a psalm like Psalm 88? You should probably just agree that Job's wife was right. Curse God and die. Or maybe Dylan Thomas was right. Rage against the dying of the light. Now, if you're a Christian, you can pray Psalm 88 with even more clarity than its author had. Wise Heman the Ezrahite, you can pray Psalm 88 with even more understanding and clarity than he had when he wrote it, because the Christian has the light of the gospel to guide us when we read this and when we even feel this way. Faith is the light that God gives us for the darkness. Faith is the light. I hope that'll become clear to you as we keep talking here, because we're going to talk about honesty, and we're going to talk about faith, and we're going to talk about healing. And you're going to see all these things in Psalm 88 as we shine the light of the gospel on such a dark psalm. Honesty through the darkness, but we're going to talk about faith through the darkness. And we're even going to talk about healing through the darkest of times. The Psalms encourage honesty through the darkest of times, don't they? I mean, we've read many Psalms over the last 87, many Psalms that are honest about somebody who's discouraged and struggling and feeling like their life is over, or feeling like nobody loves them or everybody is out to get them and where is God, right? But it all, like 88 is, it is the ultimate version of all of that, right? It's like you start preaching from Psalm 1, you're dreading 88. Like, even if it's years and years away, you're like, I don't want to have to preach on Psalm 88. But here we are. And the Psalms encourage honesty. I want to observe three things about his predicament, okay? The first is this: his suffering is ongoing. Look at verse 1 and then verse 9. He starts out by saying, O Lord God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. And you jump down to verse 9 and he says, every day I call upon you, O Lord. His body is in anguish. His soul is in anguish. Perhaps he is dying and he knows that he is. See, when you read this psalm, it's not a crisis. He's not dealing with an enemy. He's not dealing with a scandal or false accusations. He's dealing with a condition that he cannot escape. So his suffering is ongoing. Sadder still, his suffering, he's suffering alone. He's talking to God about his friends and even someone that he refers to as his beloved. And he cries out to God and he says in verse 8, you have made me a horror to them. Like, how is that even possible, right? That the people who love you, like, they don't, like, you're horrible to them? That can't be realistic, but it is, and I want you to think about that. And I had to think about that this week, and I thought back to when I was 11 years old. My grandfather, who I loved dearly, was dying of cancer over many months. I was 11 years old. It was the first big loss of my life. And I remember, I have one memory of visiting him in his home with my family, and I can remember, and as an 11-year-old, I can remember just observing his frail body, you know, no longer full of energy and exuberance, but frail and weak and slight. And I remember his face and the blank expression on his face. He was no longer happy to see me. It was almost as if he was sad that I had to see him like that. You understand? And I remember the smell of dying that I had never experienced before. And you know, as an adult, I look back on that and I wonder, did he know? Did he sense that in me? Because I remember feeling this dull contempt for him. Like I didn't know who to be angry with or what to be angry with. And I remember having this, I directed it towards him. Like, why had he changed? Why was he different? And I wasn't okay with it, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I wonder, could he sense that? Because here's the thing. Suffering people know when their visitors are scared. A suffering person knows when the people closest to them are emotionally distant. They know. There is a loneliness to prolonged suffering, even if you're not alone while you're suffering. Worse even still, he's suffering not only alone, but he's suffering without God. So it seems, because he's saying that he feels distant from God. He feels as though God is absent. Why do you hide your face from me? He cries out in verse 14. This is the hardest question of our human existence, isn't it? Why does God seem absent? So he's suffering with no end in sight and nobody to comfort him, not even God. Let's encourage ourselves to be honest at this point. Psalm 88 is truly depressing. It's okay, you can say it, you can believe it. It is. It's terribly depressing, and it should be. The Bible gets dark at times. The Bible can go head to head with the most despairing of philosophies. This is almost an ancient nod to nihilism. He says in verse 11, he questions God, is your steadfast love declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in Abaddon? Abaddon was this Hebrew word which represented destruction or ruin. He's basically saying, keep me alive because frankly, I'm not sure what comes next. Now, honesty is critical, okay? Because the facts matter and the symptoms of our suffering matter. But faith is about more than just honesty. Biblical faith clings to hope through the darkest of times. It's not just honest, it clings to hope. But I, O Lord, cry to you. That is the treasure of the darkness, to borrow a phrase from the second hymn today. Treasure of the darkness. That is Psalm 88's treasure that you find in the darkness. This phrase, but I, O Lord, cry to you. After I wrote this song years ago called All Through the Night, which was based upon you can find it, by the way, it's on Spotify or Apple or wherever you find music, but it's called All Through the Night, and I wrote it based on my observations of my brother in his long-term suffering years ago, and it's inspired by Psalm 88. And somebody asked me about the song, and they said, oh, so it's based on Psalm 88. Well, you know, I've noticed, they said to me, there is no but God in Psalm 88. Have you noticed that? In most of the Psalms, you know, like, life is hell, I'm falling apart, nobody loves me, everyone thinks I smell, I'm a mess, but God is good, right? Like, that's the formula for so many of the dark Psalms. At some point, the psalmist says, but God is good, but God is faithful, but God will redeem my life from the pit, right? It's the but God phrase of the Psalms. And they said to me, there's no but God in Psalm 88. And it's true. However, there is a but I. No but God, however, there is a but I. But I, O Lord, cry to you. And that's really important because that's faith. The treasure of the darkness here is when he says, but I, O Lord, cry to you. He is expressing his faith. He is clinging to hope in the darkest of times. Faith is, if you don't know, what we say according to the scriptures, it is the gift of God that justifies the righteous. Now, faith, according to the author of Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, or in another translation, the evidence of what is not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. Abraham believed God, we're told in Genesis, and God credited that belief, that faith to Abraham as righteous. Now, here's why this is important. You don't need to see God to have faith in him. You don't need to feel or sense God's presence in the darkest of times to have faith in him, and that's what you see in Psalm 88. Faith is like, you'll have to forgive me, here it comes, it's like Galadriel's phial of light. She gives this phial of light to Frodo, and it makes no sense, and it does nothing for Frodo and Sam until the moment in the deepest darkness where it saves their lives, right? She called it, she said to Frodo, it's a light to you in dark places when all other lights go out. Faith, like that phial of Galadriel, is a mighty gift that you don't appreciate until it gets dark. Here's the takeaway, and write this down. Cultivate your awareness of faith. Cultivate your awareness of this faith, this amazing gift, and cultivate expressions of faith that will help you in the darkest of times. Cultivate an awareness of this faith. Think about it. Are you aware that God has given you, by his grace, this mighty gift that you could not earn, that you cannot lose, that will not only carry you into eternity with Christ, but allow you to cling to Christ even now in the darkest of moments? For by grace, Paul said to the Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved, here it is, through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Grace would have no impact on you if it were not through the conduit of faith by which God brings it. Be aware that you've been given this precious gift that comes alive and shines bright in the darkest of moments. And express it. Express your faith regularly through, what have we been talking about all summer? Meditation and prayer and other spiritual disciplines like fasting, intermittent fasting, even singing. We get to sing at least 4 times every Sunday. If you don't like singing by yourself or in your home, you sing with us every Sunday. These are the everyday expressions of faith that help us cling to hope in the darkness. Cultivate an awareness of faith and cultivate expressions of faith for the darkest of times. Now, why is Psalm 88 so intimidating or frustrating or useless to some folks? I'm sure there are many, many reasons, and you can probably think of a few that I haven't, but I thought of 2 big ones this week. Here's one reason why maybe Psalm 88, you know, you're going to walk out so angry, right? Like, Brian has ruined the picnic because he chose to preach on Psalm 88 right before we go out and have hot dogs and hamburgers and ambrosia salad, if anybody actually made ambrosia. Why? Okay, so if you're upset with Psalm 88, it could be because you haven't suffered yet in your life. You haven't been tested yet. You can't relate, and it's bothering you. And you know what? If that's the case, that's okay. That's totally okay. You will have an opportunity to suffer in your life. You will. And honestly, in love, I hope you do, because without testing, you cannot mature. God disciplines those whom he loves so that they may share in his holiness. There's another reason, though, that I was wondering. Maybe you're ticked because you have suffered, but you came out of it worse than you went into it. Maybe the suffering made you bitter or cynical. Maybe the suffering made you fearful or distrusting of people, especially God. You feel, after that ordeal, you feel that God abandoned you. Respectfully and with much compassion, I'm really worried about you, if that's your perspective. Because without faith, that is true darkness. Psalm 88 is dark, but it is not totally black, right? But in your suffering without faith, that is true darkness. And let me be honest, like the rest of us, those who believe in the room, look, we're all hanging by a thread half of the time, maybe most of the time, or part, like we're all hanging by a thread. Even those of us who truly believe, we're hanging by a string, but that's something. We're still hanging on to something. by the grace of God through faith. But friend, without God, you've got nothing to grab onto. You've got nothing to cling to, nothing to hold on to, and whatever you've found to get you through the darkness, you're not holding on to anything of lasting or meaningful significance. You've had to invent something to cling to. But even in the darkest of times, faith finds healing for a wounded soul. Now, maybe you're struggling because you're still snagged on this question with God and this opinion of God that is so well represented in verses 16 and 17, where he says to God, "Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together." Now, Christianity tells us what Psalm 88, for all of its honesty, could not foresee and cannot offer to us. The Gospels tell us that on the day that Jesus was crucified, from about noon to about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, darkness was over all the land. And in that utter darkness upon Jerusalem and outside of Jerusalem, across the face of the earth, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he looked up to heaven. He said, my God," quoting Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I want to share with you a short passage from Tricia McCarry Rhodes. She wrote a great little book called Contemplating the Cross. It's for the Lenten season, but I highly recommend it. She says about this moment when darkness hung over the land and Jesus cried out those terrible words. She wrote, "With every second, Jesus swallows more of humankind's sin. Like a disease-infested swamp, the teeming waters of depravity bring a fatal contamination to the very soul of Christ. He who has never known sin becomes the epitome of sin. Darkness oozes in and around him, its tentacles dragging him down into the swirling depths of Satan's vile dominion. And the light of the world is extinguished for a few hours on a hill called Calvary. Men who love darkness rather than light demand signs, and God gives them a sky that matches the blackness of their own hearts. No greater horror has ever existed in the history of the world than this day when darkness fell upon the land." Healing for a wounded soul begins when you realize that the Son of God lived through Psalm 88. It wasn't just you. That God knows that kind of suffering. Jesus knows it. He suffered it. He cried it. He was left alone to die in the darkness. And here's where the light comes in. He was left alone, the Son of God, to die in the darkness so that the darkness cannot and shall not and will not be your final state, your fate. The darkness will not be the end of you. This gospel of light is that God has delivered us, Colossians chapter 1. God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So cultivate your awareness of that. Express your faith in that, in the darkest of times, through prayer and meditation, through singing, through fasting, through generosity, through silence, through waiting. There are so many spiritual disciplines and blessed habits that allow us to express our faith in the darkness. and you may not get the warm fuzzies, and you may not feel great. And in those moments, in response to those beautiful habits, the presence of God may not feel palpable to you. But friend, Jesus was there in the darkness, and he's with you, and he will pull you out of it. Faith in him is the light that God gives you for those darkest of times. Yeah, I know, life can get dark, but God is light, and faith finds God in the darkness. If you don't yet have the kind of faith that finds him in the darkness, if the darkness you experience is, at least the way you feel about it, utter darkness, then talk to me. Talk to Dan. Talk to Chrissy or anybody, Micah, anybody who you saw up here today, the Godfroys. We would love to talk to you about the light that is Christ and knowing faith in him. So that Psalm 88 doesn't represent the final reality of your existence. I want to pray for us before we sing. So let's pray. And these are, again, the words of Tricia McCarry Rhodes. Oh, my God, the darkness frightens me even now. My hands shake and I scream for light. I cannot live except you illumine my sinful soul. How can you drink this cup? I cannot comprehend it. But this I know, had you stopped short and refused even one final drop, I would dwell forever in the hopelessness of eternity's dark night. Oh, my God, I fall on my knees. Amen.